Pray for the Lord's help as we look at his word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for this amazing passage. And would you open it to our hearts? Would we see how you want us to respond and to be encouraged and challenged? We pray for you to be at work now by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder how many of us have used Google Earth. So the online map is a fantastic thing. With a little flick of your finger on the zoom icon, you can move from the map of the whole world and zoom in on a continent and onto a country to a city and a street in a matter of seconds. And it's great fun. It's really amazing. Well, just imagine that Google Earth was around at the time of our Bible passage in Acts chapter 8. And it had the facility for a heat sensor to be on Philip and the Ethiopian. It'd be fascinating to track their movements that day. And through the passage, we see them moving towards each other. They have a life-changing encounter, and the Ethiopian guy travels home, and Philip is zapped off by the Lord, a bit like Doctor Who, he just disappears. And it'd be great to track it visually, wouldn't it? On your phone or your tablet or your screen, because in it we see a divinely appointed, orchestrated encounter between these two different men. You see, God is the great missionary God. He sent his son into the world to seek and save the lost. And God had planned this meeting between Philip and this Ethiopian guy before time began. And neither of them knew anything about it before breakfast. Now, who knows what God has got planned for you today? How exciting God's sovereign plan. We'll have a look at the passage. It's Acts chapter 8. And if you're not there, turn to it. It's the story of God's majestic sovereign plan to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, because God is a great missionary God. You remember back in chapter 1 of Acts, we're told that Jesus says what the job of the disciples, the apostles, the church will be. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's what God is doing to the book of Acts. We see how great God is as he orders life. His heart is for the lost. God is the great missionary God. God is the great missionary God. And the day begins with Philip and the Ethiopian guy in totally different places. We first meet Philip back in chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. He was scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution. And Philip preaches the word of the Lord, verse 4, in Samaria. And he proclaims Jesus Christ there. And the kingdom breaks into Samaria. And it brings great joy, verse 8, as people are saved, as they're healed, as they're brought to know the Lord. It's a glorious thing. Verse 8, there was great joy in that city. People hear and are baptized. And God directs Philip in every step he takes. But the Lord's got another engagement for Philip. You see that in verse 26. Look at verse 26 in our passage. Now an angel, a messenger of the Lord, said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he sets off. And we see Philip at the start of the chapter doing mass evangelism, speaking to the crowds. But now we're going to see Philip doing kind of one-to-one encounter work. There is Philip, and there is the Ethiopian. Now the Ethiopian guy started his day in Jerusalem. Verse 27, you can see we're told about him there. He was a very important man. He was a chancellor of the exchequer of the queen of the Ethiopians. A big job. And it's a very important job that came with personal allowance for a chariot of your own. How cool is that? And we see from verse 27 that he'd been to Jerusalem to worship, I guess like a pilgrim to the heart of Israel's worship in Jerusalem. But as an Ethiopian and as a eunuch, he was returning from a trip that would have physically reinforced for him that he was not fully part of God's people. You see, they'd been part of the temple that he could not have gone into because he wasn't a Jew by birth. And the law said in Deuteronomy 23 that a eunuch could not even enter the temple. Basically, if you were a eunuch, you were not even welcome in the building. So he probably got as close as he could to the temple, that symbol of God's mercy and presence, but he could not fully enter in. He was kept at a distance so far and no further. But on his way home, he buys himself a copy of God's word, a scroll from the scroll store in Jerusalem. And it's a scroll containing the words of Isaiah, the prophet. So the scene is set. Google Heat activator ready. Philip Boom is ready. The Ethiopian is ready. And God directs him again, verse 29. Look at what God says to Philip. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. You see, God is the great missionary God. He directs our paths. And Philip is being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord directing him. And he goes there and he's near to the chariot. He's jogging alongside. Can you picture the scene? There he is, bobbing up and down at the side of this chariot, running along. Verse 30, the Ethiopian must have been wondering what he was doing. What's this guy doing by my chariot, bobbing up and down? Is he just a very competitive jogger? Is he having like a crisis in his midlife? Is he trying to outrun this chariot and horse? Well, the Ethiopian keeps reading aloud, and he's reading aloud words from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 53. And it's kind of a dream moment, isn't it? There is Philip jogging by the chariot. There is this Ethiopian reading out the scroll right from Isaiah. And it's a passage speaking about Jesus. It's an amazing opportunity. Do you know, actually, the Lord gives us all amazing opportunities day by day. Have you thought of that? He is the great missionary God. He directs our paths. He ordains our days, our meetings, our relationships. Do we pray every day, Lord, help me to grab that opportunity you want me to take because you're the great missionary God and you direct my paths and you order my life. Well, as Philip hears this amazing bit of scripture being read that points to the saving work of Jesus. Look at verse 32. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering servant. So Philip gets right in there. And as he runs along, at the same time, he says, verse 30, excuse me, do you understand what you are reading? I mean, everything must be falling into place for Philip, don't you think? This is why the Lord brought me here to this desert road for such a time as this. So he boldly asks him and gets a great response. Verse 31, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? What an opportunity. So Philip is invited into the chariot so he can explain further. And the Ethiopian, verse 34, asks Philip to read. And I imagine Philip, licking his lips with delight and pleasure, answers him. Verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Jesus is good news, isn't he? The good news about Jesus. Doesn't it remind you of that amazing story? Jesus is walking with those two people on the road to Emmaus and explains from the scriptures that all the scriptures point to him. And that's what he does here. He takes this passage in Isaiah and he shows that the scriptures are all about Jesus, this suffering servant who gave his life to save his people. Wonderful. And actually teaches the Ethiopian in the chariot in this meeting. You see, God is the great missionary God. And I guess the challenge is, will we speak for him? Will we speak up for him? He is the great missionary God. He's called you to know him and to live for him and to speak for him. That's our call today. It's not just up to people like Philip or me or whoever it is. It's not just a job for professional evangelists or full-time pastors, but for us all. And you spot that He starts here and he's speaking amazingly about the Lord Jesus from the scriptures. That's where we take people, if we can, to speak about the Lord Jesus. A wonderful little picture of the faithfulness of Philip grabbing the opportunity. The Great Commission for us all is for us all, isn't it? It's not just for the 11, it's not just the apostles, it's for people like Philip and the early church. They actually were involved with preaching the word wherever they went. As they were scattered because of persecution, they spoke of Jesus Christ and the church grew. Philip is ready and he speaks where the Lord has put him. And how thrilling to hear this Ethiopian guy reading this bit of scripture that pointed to the suffering servant, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who's led like a lamb to the slaughter for people like the Ethiopian, for people like us, the people of Crowborough and Jarvis Brook and Alderbrook. For the people all around the world who have all gone astray, turning our own way. Yet the Lord lays on Jesus the punishment for our sins, the pardon and rescue. And that's the heart of the message of the gospel. That's the good news about Jesus, isn't it? Of rescue from hell to heaven through the sacrificial substitution of Jesus Christ. And it's salvation through faith in Jesus, whether we're Jew or Gentile, Ethiopian, Samaritan or Israelite. Good news for all. And Philip clearly must have called the Ethiopian to repentance and faith, because the Ethiopian guy says, stop the chariot, verse 36. I need to be baptized. Where can I be baptized? That picture of the new start, of washing and cleansing, of the new birth. And if you've not yet been baptized, it's a great thing to do. If you're following Christ, to get baptized, to proclaim that Christ has washed you clean. To take that picture of Christian belonging upon yourself. If you're trusting Jesus and you've not yet done that, do get baptized. Speak to Ben about that. Well, the Google Earth heat sensor has been activated. Two men are brought together. One could tell the other what the scripture says about Jesus, and off they go on their way. And Philip is taken straight off to somewhere else. Don't know quite how he did that. It's quite a miraculous, unique event, I think. And the Ethiopian heads home. And Philip continues, I guess, with a mandate to speak about Jesus. But as you look at Philip, isn't it thrilling to see this guy? He's an ordinary Christian like us. And he does extraordinary stuff, but his heart is gripped and thrilled by the gospel. A pioneer spirit, a guy longing to explain who Jesus is from the scriptures, whose preaching conversations changed lives. Maybe we should take time today to stop and thank God for those who've actually done that for us, who told us about Jesus and taught us from the scriptures. Well, off Philip flies to share the gospel. Off the Ethiopian goes, on his way rejoicing, verse 39, heading home back to his job, looking after the money. And the gospel that brought joy to Philip, to Samaria, verse 8, has brought joy to the Ethiopian, verse at the end of our passage there. With great joy, he goes off. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? This passage of an outsider brought in to the kingdom. You see, the extraordinary thing is that the Ethiopian went to Jerusalem that day. He tried to get close to God, but he could only go so far. But he comes away from that encounter with Philip and the gospel message, the message of Jesus, with God living in him by his Spirit. What a change! He couldn't get into the temple, but he's gone away with the Spirit of God living in him, God in him by his Spirit. How amazing! You see, God's gospel is a gospel for all people. He is the great missionary God. Two men brought together so that one might be converted and take the gospel home to his people. I wonder whether the Ethiopian kept reading through Isaiah. Because it's amazing, you get on to chapter 56 and you see these extraordinary words that he might well have read. Listen to what it says, this wonderful promise of what God would do. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name. Better than sons and daughters, I'll give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. That must have thrilled his heart if he kept reading. You know, there he was, kept out, but the Lord had now brought him as a eunuch in, and his name would last forever in God's kingdom. As a foreigner brought in into God's holy presence through the Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious that prophecy fulfilled in the Ethiopian that day and in countless lives around the world. You see, God is the great missionary God, and his gospel is for all. Whoever we are. Great news for a black-skinned African saved. Every life, every race, every culture matters to Jesus. God is the great missionary. His gospel is for all. Well, let's try and apply this. God is the great missionary God. His gospel is for all. He directs our paths. And the challenge is, will we speak for him? I was really convicted by this on Friday morning as I was praying about this passage and just preparing for today. You know, life is rather limited right now, isn't it, in lockdown? But actually there are people we can call. People in our families, those who cut our hair, who collect our bins, who deliver our food, those who stand with outside the chippy, that we can talk to about the Lord Jesus, those we can write to, those at the school gate, on the field with your kids when they're playing. I wonder, do we ever begin the day expectantly wondering who we might meet and pray, let me name the name of Jesus today to somebody else. Let me speak of Jesus. You know, I prayed that on Friday, not expecting much. And Friday was one of the most exciting days I've had for a long time. Where I got to speak to a dad about Jesus at the school gates. Where I was called into three people in hospital who needed to hear about Jesus. And then I was last night outside the chippy and I bottled it. And I could have spoken about Jesus. I had a great conversation. I was kicking myself. I missed an opportunity. It was just there, chatting to these guys about what they did. And I missed it. But the Lord is constantly giving us opportunity to speak for him. Will you pray that the Lord would use you? Because his gospel is for all. He directs our paths, our relationships, our lives. He wants us to speak for him. And he gives us grace to do that. Will you pray that? As we rejoice in all that God did back in Acts chapter 8. And he still does now by his Spirit. Let me pray. Oh Lord God, we do thank you so much for this amazing passage. For the spread of your gospel, Lord. The gospel plan. The way you use people and your sovereign meetings you create. Lord, help us, Father God, to be thrilled by your plan to save all people. And help us to realise you want to use us, Lord, to draw all sorts of people in to your kingdom. Help us to be faithful, not to bottle it, not to miss opportunities for your glory and the growth of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.